First Samuel chapter 2. All right, we're going to read from verse 2. All right, 1, 2, let's go.
There is no one holy like the Lord.
Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are shattered, and the feeble get on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for another gathering of your children. Thank you for the insights you have prepared for us. We open our hearts to receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we declare as follows.
I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now this morning, God is going to give you your own special word.
Amen.
It's called the bread from heaven. If you missed last Saturday's teaching, please go and get the message. It should be on podcast by tomorrow. Please try and get it. Is that okay? Because what you need each season is a word. The word that you need, you will get today.
Amen.
If you say amen, you will get it too.
Amen.
That word is a word of lifting. It's a word of, you know, the stagnation. You have to break out of stagnation.
Amen.
Without that word coming forth, that breaking will not happen. So that's why you need to receive it. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Today.
Today.
This morning.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All
right, so let's get into today's teaching, okay? Now, let's read some portion of the scriptures again. Let's read Matthew chapter 5 again. Let's do that. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Because we have read it a number of times, I may just abridge what we are going to read. So, the Bible says from verse 1, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Please notice this. His disciples were the ones he was teaching, not the multitude. The crowds came. He moved up to the mountain. The disciples followed. The crowds stayed down. So if we are believers in Christ Jesus, certain things must characterize our lives. That's the point he was making. Okay? Now, just going to church is not what we are talking about. Let's remember, to be a Christian is not shown by the fact that I go to church alone, all right? Going to church is an accessory to being a believer. What makes you a real believer is discipleship, commitment to learning. You are not born again except you are a disciple. You have answered an altar call does not save you. I hope you're getting my point. What saves you is that you took up your cross and you are following him. You are not a Christian except you are a disciple. It was the disciples, all right, that were called what? Christians in Antioch. It was the disciples. It's those who are following. Who's a disciple? A student. Somebody who's learning the ways of the master, who's trying to fashion his life, her life, to that of the master. It's not somebody who went to church, put his or her name on a roll, Please, let me say this again. There's a kind of deception. It's not new, actually. It's been there since the days of Paul, really. I just realized it now. That people think that they are saved just because they went to church. And pastors preach that they are saved, but they are not. It's sad because Jesus said on the last days, many will come to me, all right? And say, well, after all, I'm your person now. And he will say, I never knew you. So get it clear. If you are not a disciple, you are not a true Christian. You are a fake believer. You are a false Christian. True Christians are disciples of Jesus. True Christians wake up in the morning thinking of the Lord, wanting to be like him. And if you think you are a true believer, make sure you don't backslide away from discipleship. Only disciples are true Christians. That needs to be emphasized. There's a doctrine that says that if you ever put up your hand and give your life to Christ, you're saved. It's a lie. It is a lie. Now, let me tell you, some of the doctrines we preach, if they were true, everything Jesus said would be false. Now, let me say this to you again. When he said, many will come to me on the last day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not? They were not trying to lie to him. They were just deceived. Please, I hope you are getting my point. They were not trying to lie. They were just deceived. How will you come on the last day when you want to enter final salvation and be lying to enter? It's not even possible. And you know the person you are talking to. You can't deceive him. Everything is laid bare before him with whom we have to do. You can't lie to him. It's not possible. You can't see. When you see him, you can't lie. It's not even like you want to be honest. So when those people spoke, they spoke honestly at that point. But they were deceived. When the Bible says you examine yourself to check whether you are still in the faith, why would that be said to us? If it wasn't possible for somebody to be out of the faith and not know. Which means if you don't examine yourself, you may be out of the faith and not realize it. How do you examine yourself? It's not how many hours you pray. It's how the kind of works you do. Today I met a man once. We met at the election. Those are the ones you have to accredit and wait. Not, you know, this is you accredit and almost vote immediately. In fact, no. They accredit you as you are voting. Just stay on the line. Those is you accredit and then you wait for voting. So we met where we were both waiting. So after we exchanged pleasantries, sir, how are you doing? We brought out the book by Larry Bucket. I said, sir, you have the book? He said, yes, because you know we have to wait for a few hours. So he brought it to keep himself occupied. It's the statement he made, because he's a Christian businessman. He said, I read things like this once in a while, just to check whether I'm still serving God or I have begun to serve myself. Is that statement I'm trying to get us to understand? The man said, I need to check whether I'm still serving God or have begun to serve myself. You need to check. You are doing ministry. You have to check. Am I doing this for God or it has become my career path to success in life? Am I building something to hand over to my children? I remember one woman, I read the story in the book. True story, all right? Her husband was in prison. So she kept the church going. Why? So that you have something to come back to. Was going to be in jail for a number of years. And I reasoned, I said, what kind of mindset is this? She had good intention, but I said, that's not the reason for ministry. It's important. Whatever you are doing in life, you have to check whether you are still serving God in it or you have begun to serve yourself. Please, I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
It was the disciples that came to him. That's what I'm saying. Let me just say this again. He said, let him that thinketh, that he's thinking, that is, he can be deceived. He should take heed so that he doesn't fall. That even those who are standing can fall. There are people rolling on the ground. No, not that they can fall. They are already rolling on the ground. They are on the floor. And they are on the floor saying that one shift, only shift. And you're looking at this moron. You're on the floor. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Paul is writing to those who are standing. That they should be careful they don't fall. You that's on the ground, you are bold. God understands that being a pastor does not mean you are holy. Yes, a man said it. He's a pastor of a church, he's a womanizer, and that is his defense. No, there's this womanizing you do. Only you and the woman know. But there's one in which everybody knows. His own was that type that everybody knew. What is his? And he's on church on Sunday preaching. I say, you see, let me say it straight. You will be condemned with the world. Your lack of contriteness, your lack of remorse is the problem. It's not even the sin. What have you seen that people have not seen before? But see, the day they told David, you are the one. He wrote a psalm from it. And that psalm was given by the Spirit of God. He went on the ground in repentance. I said to us the other time, I think it was last week or the week before, that don't fall for the trap of Satan. What is Satan's trap? Justifying iniquity. Blaming Nigeria. It's the times we live in. Go and check it. All the warnings given in scripture was given so that Christians will endure difficult times. They were warned for them to know that difficult times were given to purify the saints. That is why everything is easy. There's no temptation to steal. There's no temptation to lie. There's no temptation to commit adultery. There's no temptation to depart from the place of your calling. You know what the Lord said? I won't know the people who are really true. And even they who don't know. Go and read this parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. Some fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and ate it up, ate them up, right? Those were those who heard the word and they didn't understand. They didn't even know what they were preaching. They didn't give their life to Christ at any moment. Leave them. The next category, they fell where the earth was shallow. There was no depth of earth. Do you understand? Then they sprang up how? Quickly. Good. They quickly gave their life to Christ. They quickly responded. Oh, they were bubbling in church. And God said, let's check whether it's real. What was the test? Persecution that came as a result of the word. That was the sun. Now, please, I know biology. I teach biology. Many of you have done biology. So you know about photosynthesis. Plants don't survive without the sun. What did I tell you? Spiritually, temptation is necessary to bring out the best in you. Trials are necessary to bring out the spiritual substance in you. Plants are the only living things, or at least big ones that you can see, that make their own food. See, that lion is a predator. You know the meaning of predator? It can't make its own food. Human beings are omnivores. You know what's omnivores? They eat everything. Forget the big pride. I'm not omnivore, man. I'm not a carnivore. I'm not a heavy. It means you can't make your own food. You have to feed on somebody or something else. Where am I going? Those that provide the food for all of us on the earth. They provide for the cow, provide for the goat, provide for the sheep. Then provide for us because we have to eat them directly. Yam, cassava, wheat. And then eat what has eaten them. And be going around the society bragging that we are omnivores. Those that provide for us provide only because there's trial. It's sun. They are the ones that convert solar energy to chemical energy that we transmit in the bonds in our foods. Complex substances, they call them. That biology they taught you in school, I will remind you today. All of you that dodged biology class, say you have come now. You didn't know where it was going to wait for you. Where am I going? They can only produce because they are tested, afflicted. That is, the real substance in them can't come out except something presses them. But as long as they have life, they don't have a problem with the sun. Where am I going? Don't use affliction as an excuse to disobey God. God says, no. You don't understand. You have come to tell me why you are disobeying. Meanwhile, that was why I commanded obedience. I would not have commanded obedience except that situations like that will come up. Do you get my point? If I say people should not steal, and I mean that maybe we leave money around there, don't steal. I rule out some people already. The rich are not part of the people I'm telling not to take my 500 naira on the table. The man who drove down to visit me in a Bentley, if my 1,000 naira is missing, it won't cross my mind to check him. I won't even call him to say, sir, did you see the 1,000? If he took it, let him take it. Are you getting my point? Where am I going? Commandments are given for those who are likely to transgress. So when you have instructions, you should know that there will be temptations to go otherwise, to do otherwise. So don't use the temptations as the excuse to do the thing that you're not supposed to do. The temptation is the reason why the commandment was given. Please never, as believers, you know, joke with the walk of righteousness. Don't trivialize the need to walk in holiness. Don't ever make excuses for walking in defilement. Don't. Please, I'm attacking those excuses, that
excuse mentality, yes. That idea that I can have an excuse. Like I said the other day, even in trivial things, be more focused on what is right than the excuse to do what is wrong. Get to the office by 8. Please, don't use protest as an excuse in your heart. Don't use the rain as an excuse in your heart. Don't use difficult transportation as an excuse in your heart. Say, but sir, sometimes these things happen. Don't give it as an excuse. When you get to work, apologize for coming late. Let the man in charge be the one to probe. And let that probing be like he knows that this is not your character. There are those who get there. The man says, you're welcome. That is like, he says, sir, there was protest in his mind. Was there protest last week? Was there protest last week? There was no protest. The other day, he said it was rain. The other day, the sun was too hot. The other time, the sun came out too early. The other time, there was no fuel. Have you noticed that in 30 days, I've had to hear stories from you 10 times? There's one young woman that works on my wife. She always comes late. She'll get there maybe at, they say be there by 8. She'll come at 8:45. Why? Hey, where I'm coming from? Okay, then seasons change. You say, okay, now 8 is no longer necessary. Everybody come at 9. She'll come at 9:45. So I told my wife, hey, you see, distance was never the problem. The people that live in one of the worst cities to live in, sorry, guys, I love you. God bless you. You know I love you. Are those who live in Lagos. Now, that worst city, I'm not the one that said it. So Lagos was rated, this is the second or fourth worst city to live in. Now, where I'm going is for the reason. Not because they are wicked people, but because of transportation. Because of transportation. So that's what I mean. Lagos was not rated. I mean, when it comes to safety, you may hear stories of violence. It's not worse than you hear in most cities in Nigeria, in the world. I'm sure New York and Chicago has more violent crime than Lagos. Can't even compare. You don't even rank anywhere near the top when it comes to violence. But why are they rated lower than Aleppo in Syria? Lower than Damascus? One reason, transportation. Then they said the average Lagosian was spending 4 hours a day in traffic. That is hard. Now this is where I'm going. The average Lagosian doesn't get to work late. He gets to work on time. One of our sisters, was it you telling me, tell Reverend, stayed for traffic. Was it Apostle? No, it's Apostle. I think it's Apostle's wife when she was in Lagos. Traffic, whole arm, got home, just went in, had the bus changed, and went back to work. Yeah, because by the time they got home, it was time to start going the normal time. So if I lie down here, I'm fired. Now, please, I'm not trying to teach how you're supposed to live in Lagos. I'm just trying to say that. So they had to adapt. They don't go around giving excuses. So am I saying that things will never happen that are beyond your control? A human being, they will happen. However, don't take solace. Don't take comfort in the excuse. That's what I'm saying. If the bridge falls, heavy traffic builds between you and where you're going, when you get there, don't say, did you hear about the bridge? Don't start with that. I'm so sorry. I was supposed to be here by 10. It's 10:45. Whoa. I hope nothing spoiled because of it. How can I, that is, own that problem. You know, in our society, it's part of our problem, lack of civility. Somebody gives an excuse to spoil something, and then he thinks he can go away. He says, wait, I understand your excuse, so who fixes it? Exactly. I understand your excuse, but who will now fix it? It's your responsibility. That's why I told all of you here, if you jam somebody's car, don't say sorry as in more than courtesy. Just an aside, this is not my message, okay? I was showing my wife the other day in the house. I said, did you notice that? You know, people would just like to say sorry and you demand forgiveness. Go and read in the Bible, it doesn't exist. What I'm trying to say is this. The number of stories Jesus told. The man that was owing the master, what did he say? Give me time, I will pay you all. The master was the one that chose to write it off. What he said, in fact, what my wife and I were talking about that day, people talk about forgiveness and forgiveness. I said, you have to know this forgiveness thing. Don't demand it. If somebody chooses to forgive, let it be his own. Your own is to show contriteness and offer to make amends. Don't demand that contriteness must mean wipe off of the problem. No. No. Immediately say, I'm so sorry. Then start thinking, how do I amend this? I'm talking about prodigal son. People tell us that prodigal son, I said, go and read your Bible. The prodigal son didn't go back home begging to be taken as a son. He came looking for work. He had checked up and down. Man, country hard. He said, look, now I'm down. I've lost my inheritance. But there's a place I can get a job if you will show me mercy. Don't think he barged in. Daddy, I'm sorry. No. The guy was crawling gently. They went and reported to the father that they saw him. It was the father that came out to him. I want to tell the father, he said, Daddy, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I came to look for work because I know you treat your servants better than how I've been treated, where I'm coming from, where I'm working. I won't preach more about the prodigal son than that. Just check the attitude. But many of us, and I told him, sorry, I don't know what all of this is. The man who is saying sorry is the one telling you, I don't know what all of this is. You're not sorry. You're stubborn. Did I not beg you? You look at the mouth, you want to slap it. I don't know, just call me. And I told him I'm sorry. Typical person just assumes that means something. In case you don't know, it means nothing. He said, have patience with me. I will pay you all. That was what end the forgiveness. My wife had the driver once. That man, I'm sorry to say. Well, you know, God is patient. That guy is a bad, I'm sorry to say, he's a bad human being. Anything he touches, he must fall. He drives very rough. One day, my wife gave him my car to do something. But then my mirror is gone. He now sent me a message at night. I'm so sorry, sir, it's my fault. I said, yes, let me not, you know, we record this and I can't tell you how I felt. It's your fault. You shouldn't come and tell me. Should I fix my mirror before you come and before I discover, if you know it's your fault? My wife and another driver, young man, very, very well behaved. One day he was driving her car and he broke something. So when he came, my wife said, she was so angry. What? Why are you, you know? By the time he came back, she came back next time, my wife was surprised. The guy had taken the car to camp, had fixed it, paid for it, and brought the car back. When she discovered, like, what? She was surprised. So when he dropped her off later the day, she didn't hand a bag, asked how much it cost to fix that thing, and she gave him the money back. Remember that you told me that day, as he was leaving, he was looking at her like this. Thank you, ma. That is, that money, it meant so much to him. He wasn't expecting it back. Mosey, I don't tell you sorry now. Mother, I don't tell you sorry. I beg me beggar. Irresponsible behavior. How did I get there? I finished there. I wanted to go back to what I was. I know I said it was an aside. Don't worry, I'll start preaching again. I was talking about disciples. Yes. Where I'm going is that, please, let's not take the holy work lightly. Let's not be masters of and mistress of excuses. Even if the things were to happen, still accept responsibility. Laban was a difficult man, I know. So I'm not trying to say Laban, what he did was good. But it was Jacob did that I want you to learn. Even when they stole Laban's sheep, Jacob said, it was under my care. He paid. When a lion will tear it, he will pay. Even though he had the pieces to show to Laban. Laban was a hard man. I'm not saying he should be like that. I want to just be like Jacob, to be a very responsible person. What makes us true believers, all right, is those kind of things that we do, that we don't react like everybody else. I will say this. I know many people won't like it's true. I told all those of you that join protest, you know you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You are evil. You are worse than the people you are protesting against. I'm giving you the mind of the Spirit. I'm not here to give you political talk. I'm giving you what the Holy Spirit is saying. And not physically. Some of you didn't leave your household. You are still part of it. First, this is Enugu, right? You know, here we didn't have time. God gave us that kind of, we're looking at everybody. In fact, they are using us to preach now. One senator used it to preach. Did you notice it? Some of you saw the tweet. The man listed where there was no issue, telling the people in certain parts of the country, what's wrong with all of you? He counted Enugu as part of, look at them, they have sense there. He said, can you see what's happening to you? You are destroying your own things. Look at the other people in the same country. So we are peaceful people here, but some of us peaceful people, in our heart we went out. It's the Holy Spirit that didn't let us leave our doors. Very, 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 verily, I say unto thee, thou committed iniquity. There are many reasons for it. But one major reason is the one I sent out. Help, Lord, my King. And the King said, from where will I help you? You have to learn that your actions speak. My help comes from the Lord. So what are you doing on the streets? Is that where God sends help through? Is that prayer? Is that intercession? You're on the streets of Ojota. Is that where God answers prayer? If my help comes from the Lord, where should I be at such times? I should be in the closet. I should be on the prayer mountain. I should be in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Or like David, I could be seated on the floor before the Lord. I don't start analyzing political things so that we won't get into argument. This one you can't argue with me. And if you dare argue with me, you have the Holy Spirit to contend with, not me. Because I've not gone outside the scriptures. And I'm not talking about those who are marching the streets in their hearts. Those who are holding the government responsible for all their problems. I've learned that everything in life is a gift of God. If he doesn't give it, you go to where is God my maker? You know, I'm a Nigerian. Now let's talk a bit. I'll get back to my message. I was born in Ondo State. Both of my parents are from there. I grew up my first part of my life there. University took me to what is now Edo State. That was Bendel when we went there. Became Edo State. Went back to then Ondo State. Became Ekiti later to work for a year. After that, I went to Taraba State for NYSC. After that, I went to Lagos. Stayed in Lagos for a long time. And I married my wife and I came to Enugu. I'm not from Enugu. I came here to take a job in the university. Where am I going? I had every reason, like every other person in the world, to talk about discrimination. I don't want to bore you with some stories. There are things you will see. Eh? I had a colleague of mine analyze it for me and told me it was tribalism. And he's from the East. And I told him it's not. Now, what he didn't understand is that I didn't have the capacity to think so. It was irrelevant to me what the facts were. I did not have the capacity to think so. One of our brothers once, I wanted to give him a knock on the head. They closed Ladipo because the government said they were breaking sanitation rules. Some people laughed and said it's not true, that the real thing that they were not paying the taxes. This was under Fashola. Fashola was a tax master. Do you remember Fashola? In fact, he went to church. Not church, churches. If I watch the video of when he sat with the head of the churches in Cannes, the big men in Cannes, begging them to tell their members to pay taxes and begging the pastors themselves to pay taxes. You're not immune because you're a pastor from taxation. He went to mosques. He talked to everybody. They got Pastor E. Adeboye to do a video on pay your tax. So that was around that time. So he shut down some markets in Lagos. I asked one of our brothers, he has some deal in that area. Oh, what did you people do? He said, you know, it is the Igbo interest in Lagos. Yeah, he said that to me here. I mean, I don't know who was just in that day. I looked at him and said, should I knock you on the eye? I said, okay, when he shot, because he also did the Yaba market. In fact, finally demolished that one. I said, whose interest was that? When they closed mile 2 or mile 12, where do they sell mile 12? I said, when they shot mile 12, whose interest was it? You can't go around like feeling like, you know, like a victim. They have not even finished talking to you. I said, how are human beings like this? I sat in Enugu, a colleague of mine sat and I said, Banky, this thing they are doing to you is tribalism. What he didn't know was that I do not have the capacity to reason like that. See, I came to town. He said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. See, I came to town with the spirit. You sin against God if you discriminate against me for any reason. I know it. My defender is strong. I told my friend, forget it. Another person who was not employed in our department told me it is statism. I said, he said, yes, it is because it's from Enugu. Yeah, I'm not kidding. And that was why the Anambra people did not want him to come into a university in Enugu. Yeah, no, in Enugu. Please, I'm begging you, if you're a Christian, renew your mind. That's the beg I'm just begging you. I looked at him. I was like, he was sitting beside me, we were on a flight. So today they couldn't go away, so we had each other for some time. So I told him the story that made the other person tell me tribalism. Can you remember? I told him, I didn't tell you the story, but I told him the story. That the same institution, this happened. I said, if it was you, wouldn't you call that tribalism? He was calm. I said, but this man, I mentioned the name of the other guy, who happens to be from the East too, told me it is tribalism.
And I refused. Now, I give this guy, you know, credit. He said, sir, he has respect for me, calls me chief. He said, chief, you must be commended. He's a Christian. He said, I have to commend you for that kind of mindset. Because what happened to him was nothing compared with the one that happened with me. But I told the people, it is not tribal. Because must that be your only excuse? What if it is colorism? They don't like my black face. Why can't it be? Why can't it be denominational? Oh, God, you know what I'm saying? Before I bite my tongue. Why can't it be a church matter? Because there was a time I had a major conflict with a guy who I felt I had never offended in any way. My wife remembered the story. And I look back, I had never offended him in any way that I knew. One of our sisters, she was a student that time. She came to see me. When I told her what happened, she shook her head. She said, sir, you won't understand. I said, what do you mean? She didn't know how to explain to me. She said, this is a matter of church. It is because of who you are. I can tell you some things. Okay, I'll give you a bit of it. She said that one day there's a church sect she used to attend their functions. The head of the sect came to her one day. I said, we don't see you anymore. I told the person, I'm sorry, I'm busy at the time you guys meet, I'm busy. The person said, is this your Pastor Banky that has a problem? I said, what? Yes. That I was a topic of discussion in a sect. And this fellow happens to be in another part of the same sect. Ah, that is, he says, sir, you don't understand. Your matter is under discussion. That this fight you are fighting here, I still remember the way she sat that day. Sat in my office, put her head like this and shook it. Says, sir, you won't understand. She knew it to be hard for her to persuade me concerning what she felt was going on. Why did I have to drag down to tribe? Hotter, more important things were at stake. If they were right. But you know what? I didn't care. Let me tell you something. I believe Isaiah chapter 54. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. It's if they gather against you, it is not because of me. So every mouth that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of God. Their righteousness is of me. You know what that means to me? Unless God didn't send me to this city, that is why you will survive opposing me. See, I don't need to be your enemy. You already have an enemy bigger than me who doesn't need my help. If I feel you are really my enemy, I better get on my knees and intercede for you. Because truly, if I don't, perishing, you shall perish. Archbishop Idahosa will tell you testimonies those days of when the mention of his name became a problem in places. Because don't mention his name, we don't want trouble. You're talking about cults, witches, meetings, and all of that. Because he stood against all of them. He told them, see, he said he wanted to do a world congress of witchcraft. And he said if they come to Benin, they won't survive. He stood on television. He told the chief priest, you people should come here first. Could they come? There was a time he had a lot of opposition. Men would just be traveling. Bam! They would just have accidents and die. Oh God, what happened? He said, I didn't pray about them now. What's my? I didn't have their time. They dragged him to court for all kinds of things. He said, I don't have their time. I'm not exactly. People were dropping dead one after the other. I worked in the hospital once. When I came, my friend and I certified the last set of 5 nurses dead. I certified the last one dead, who rose in opposition against the chief medical director on Christianity matters. I remember the last one. I was the one. My friend and I still remember the guy's name. That day, because I was a little senior to him in that unit. I was one. Get me this. Get me that. We're trying to resuscitate this woman. Finally, we gave up. So the nurse gave me the paper. I signed. Gave the time of death. Later I heard the story. That was the last one now. Dog, that's the last one. The first was the chief matron. The man told me later, because he's a Christian man, someone introduced me to him. So I went to his office. We're just gisting. He says, one big person came to his office one day, say, I heard that you are the one that you could use prayer to kill chief matron. Yeah. He answered the person. He said, does prayer kill good people? He said, if prayer killed you, you're a wicked person. That's the only answer I gave. He didn't deny. He just said that it's only wicked people that prayer kills. That's what he said. Later, I now heard the story. The hospital was afraid. And all this happened in 1 year. Took five of the conspirators against him. They went. One of them survived. But I was a house officer. I needed to be there for 1 year. She lasted longer than my stay there in hospital on admission.
Because her bones were broken.
See why I don't have time for you to tell me somebody's your enemy. The person is somebody else's enemy, not my enemy. You know who you are fighting? You get a person who sent me, come down. There was never a time I said to myself, oh, Enugu is a beautiful place. Let's go and live there. It never happened. I prayed to the Lord. And I felt in this my spirit, confirmed by many signs, go and teach the word of God from Enugu. I saw one clip the other day. a picture. Beautiful. I don't know how many of you saw it. If I think one of you posted it on your status, maybe one of my children, I'm not very sure, of Donald Trump walking. You know, when that shot was taken and he survived it, somebody did a picture. They showed like 3 well-armed, massive angels walking behind him. And he was walking. They say, the real state security service. That this is the real one. It's not those men. The boss had to resign because of the issues. Uh-huh. They said, forget that, those people. This is the real one. I had to capture the picture, you know, the image, and I kept it. Where I'm going is, maybe later on God will help me again. If I remember, I had it in mind. We've done this before, just like doing it again. How to put yourself in the center of God's will. Now, what I mean, I don't mean obeying the will now, but in the center of God's plan and God's arrangement. There's a way. Like I said, if Joseph did not forgive his brothers, he would have said in effect, and you must understand that God changes the past. I've said that many times. That lack of forgiveness will go back in time and wreck his life. Yeah, because that would have said, my brother sent me here, not God. For him to be in the center of what God was doing, he had to acknowledge that my brothers did not send me here. God did. That's the power of forgiveness. You have to take everything. Go and read my little tract. I wrote it many years ago. Titled, It is God and I. All right? You have to see God in everything. Once you do that, you are putting him inside the things. Even in things that are past. You can go back in time and insert God there. Don't worry. That's why he's God. He knows how to go inside something that happened 15 years ago. He knows how to go inside something that happened 30 years ago. He knows how to. You have to tell him, God, see you here. He said, oh, you finally recognize it? Because actually he was there, waiting for you to align. So if you want to wear the tag of I'm being discriminated against, you know what happened? That discrimination spirit will never, everywhere you go, that spirit will have power over you. People insult Ben Carson all the time because he refuses to play the victim card as a black man in America. After what they start insulting him, that is because he has made it. You didn't ask, why did he make it? You didn't ask. If you had asked, you'll have known that refusal to play the victim card was one major reason he did. Just by the way, I'll get back to it. If you go around playing like a victim, people will dash you money. They will give you help. They will never put in a position of power. Never. No, think about it. Somebody comes to your office to look for work. And he starts telling you stories of how his father needs money. That's why he's looking for work. How his mother needs money. That's why he's looking for work. How his children need money. That's why he's looking for work. You put that guy as your manager. It's obvious his family need is more important than your business. So he says, sorry. So what happened to your father? He fell sick. Ah, what about your mother? She fell from a height. Hey, sorry. What about your children? They didn't eat. Oh, what happened? Oh, my family, they are refugees. Oh, you'll give him clothes. You'll give him money. You ain't giving that job. But if he walked in, left all his problems behind, didn't tell you about it. And told you, look, sir, I'm a hard worker. If I don't make a significant impact in your company in the first 3 months, sack me. Don't pay me till that time. Even if you didn't want to employ him. You want to give him a try. Are you sure? Yes, sir. Please, sir, just give me small money for transport so I can be coming to work. But leave the salary at the end of 3 months. If I don't make a significant impact, I will go. And I will not even collect the money from you. Ah,
You're going to look at the guy like, are you serious? Sure you can do this? Yes, sir, let's try.
It is when you now find out 6 months later that his father has problems. His mother has problems. You now be feeling sorry for him more. You now increase his salary. You now pay him more. But if he started throwing it in your face, Clary Benkasi's story, the man, I read his book. He has a number of books. Read things like that. They will encourage you. Gifted Hands. Take that risk. You know, big picture. A number of them. All right? He said his mother taught him to pity those who discriminate against him because he's black. So when you do that, he looks at you with pity. Oh, ignoramus. The Spirit of God is not in this guy. Hey, now wow. How do people survive like this? He's feeling sorry for you. He told a story of when he started work in Johns Hopkins in the neurosurgery unit. So one day he went into the ward. And of course the matron there, or one nurse there, just assumed, and you, according to him, you don't blame her. She just assumed that he's an oddly. That he came to wheel a patient to theater. He just said, oh, let's assume the man's name is Mr. Smith. He said, oh, Mr. Smith is not here ready, please. You have to come back in about 30 minutes. His surgery, we're told he's supposed to be 10 o'clock. You are here early. So he allowed her to finish talking. I said, no, ma, I'm not here for Mr. Smith. I came to report for work here. I'm Dr. Carson. He said, the woman turned red. She was so embarrassed. And he said, I could have taken it up. You know, people now go and report and go and discrimination. You know, most of the story of discrimination I hear is rubbish. It's crap. That's life. You cannot live life without prejudging people. Just don't do anything bad. Like I said at the joke the other time, if you are going on, out at night, you are carrying your laptop or you are wearing Gucci, you are carrying your expensive phone in your hand, and you see two boys looking rough, and you don't prejudge them, you're on your own. It's night, the street is lonely, they are heading towards you. Better prejudge them and go into one corner and lock the door and let them pass. But let's be honest, if those boys were coming towards you and they are saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, hallelujah, will you not prejudge them? You will. What's your prejudgment? They are Christians. They are coming from church. They are tattered clothes. Doesn't matter. Life is like that. Let's stop pretending. I see a lot of pretense. They shouldn't be prejudiced. Why won't I be prejudiced? The last 10 guys looking like you stole my money. I shouldn't be prejudiced. I'm not serious. You have a duty now to prove that you're not like them. So the man made excuse for the woman. Said, look, understand, how many black doctors has she seen in neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins? He said, look, understand her matter. He was the one defending. I know that there's no need. That he fully understood. All the black young men he has seen had been oddless. Why should he be different? Talk about prejudice. The first time I came to Enugu, faculty board meeting. I worked for faculty board meeting, so I wanted to register. The guy said, who are you representing? Yeah, I was too young. He looked at me. You remember faculty board? So I just walked in. So I was called by my resident, because I was new in town, just showing me around. So I walked in. I came on time, so the meeting had not started. So I wanted to, this meeting, where is it holding? He said, yes. I said, okay, please, where do I write my name? The guy, I still remember the guy's face, looked at me. Who are you representing? He taught one senior man sent me. So the guy said, this is my consultant. The guy was surprised. This small boy? He had never seen a member of faculty board that young. Why should I get angry with him? He was so sure. In fact, the person introducing me, he and I were born the same year, and he was my resident. The next 5 years before he qualified. What are you talking about? So it's not his fault. I still remember, the guy just looked at me like, who sent you? I was like, who sent me? Like I said, it was the other guy that asked. I said, chief, give me a moment. Talk to the guy. Like, what do you mean? He's a lecturer. He's this, he's that. He's my consultant. And the guy gave me a book. Me, I sign. So Benkasi said the woman became his number one fan in that place. they became very friendly. Defended him. Of course, he grew up, you know, finished residency, became the chief of pediatric neurosurgery in that place years later, and they remained very friendly. He said, I could have ruined that relationship. So don't go around, you see, feeling like everything. Let's forget this thing. Jonathan was in government, he did not prosper. Buhari came, he didn't prosper. It is Tinubu that's not your problem. Can't you see that you have familiar problems? Ancestral curses. Say of you to go and collect your deliverance. You want to go and march. Come to church, let us pray for you. Come out. The Lord is good. So, let's not look for excuses. Don't get used to it. Don't like it. Don't. That's the point I'm making. Don't. Just live your life before God. Take holiness and righteousness seriously. Let me remind us of the definition of holiness. We easily know what is righteousness. Righteousness means a number of things, but in this context, okay, let me say a number of things. Righteousness means God is, you're acceptable to God. He's look at your person and say, I can walk with you. But in practical terms, righteousness means you are doing what is right. The way you pray is right. The way you spend money is right. The way you talk is right. As far as God is concerned, not the nation, not the people around you. That is righteousness. That what God says is right is what you are doing. Holiness is about purpose. Please, let's remind ourselves of that. Holiness is about purpose. That is, what I am doing now, is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Not just, because righteousness has to do with the principles and methods and acts that you're doing, but why are you doing what you're doing? That's holiness. That's holiness. This consecration to the purpose of God is what holiness is. So, if I take a pan into the temple, and I say nobody eats with that, it's used to burn, you know, sacrifices. It has been consecrated. What is the consecration? What we use it for. Every Christian must understand his or her life is to be a life of holiness. That is serving the purpose of God. So we believers must take those two things, righteousness and holiness, very seriously. David Paulson gave an illustration just to show you some things about holiness. A young woman came to him one day and said, ah, sir, thank God with me, I just got a job. Where? In a Christian organization. And David Paulson he's late now. He was passionate about Christians working in public service. And you will see his reason in a moment, and I know you agree with him. I agree with him 100%. You see the reason in a moment. He said, when Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, let's take a moment and remind ourselves of that. Salt, in that context, it means you are the one that preserves the place from decay. You are the one that fertilizes the place. It's not about flavor. It's about preservation and fertility. So, salt, like now, you know most fertilizers are salts. So those are the two uses. I don't want to give scripture so as not to waste time, all right? So, he said there are two things salt does. One, it preserves. And that's why Jesus said it's no longer good for the manure pile. So it prevents decay. And when people used to preserve meat those days, they rubbed it with salt. If salt enters it well, nothing will grow inside it. So when they need to eat it, they soak it in water. The water will dissolve out the salt and it is back to normal meat when there was no refrigeration. So it's drying and salting. But I still taught till now about how food is preserved. They still teach children that in biology and agriculture. The second one is bringing life into the place, fertility. So, David Paulson said to us, I want to just give you something he said, that they've done assessments, calculations, that if you're going to stop decaying the society and start infiltrating the place with righteousness, you need about 5%. Now, please, this is not scripture. This was just his own analysis from some studies done that they have observed that you need about 5% of persons there to be walking in righteousness, to be true, committed believers. So he's very passionate when, let's use Nigeria as an example now. You want Nigeria police to improve. The person says you need to get 5% of them to be righteous people. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Now, that 5% is not the scripture. You just don't want to explain something. The scripture is a salt matter. So the lady, young lady came to him and said she was leaving the government service where she was working, and she got a job in a Christian publishing company. And what was the issue? She was only Christian in the office. So their deeds and their acts, the way they did things, they offended her a lot. The way they talk, it's all over the world. Corruption things they did and everything. She didn't like it. So she wanted to go and work where there was no problem. So she found a Christian organization. And he shook his head that when you get there, you know that place is not heaven. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the other thing he said to her. So you are leaving. So she said, yes. When are you leaving? Maybe I'll be leaving at the end of the month. So he said, okay. So the only source of light in that office is about to be extinguished. The lady calmed down. He said, you just with your own mouth told me you are the only representative of God there. He wasn't talking about the money. He wasn't talking about the comfort. He was talking about, so when you left now, when Jesus wants to talk, who does he send? The lady quickly went, withdrew her resignation, and went back to work. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You have to be present. That salt that's not inside the soup, what is he doing? That they have to be present. He gave us a number of things in the series of teachings. One, they have to be present. Two, they have to be present mixed thoroughly. And three, in sufficient quantities. That he always feels bad. I remember one of my friends, somebody was living in the north. I wanted to sell his house. He felt very bad. Do you know why? He said, getting a house here, being a Christian can be a problem. They won't rent it to you. Where he is. That now a Christian is living and is going to deplete the number of houses that we have. And Alaji had cash ready for this guy. So my friend, his problem was not the house. He said, no. Told the guy, don't sell to him. We will buy the house. So he raised money and bought the house. Not because he needed that. Of course, a house is good. It's good for him to have. But he said, look, you are reducing the resources available to us. I'm talking about holiness. Holiness is to have a godly reason for what you are doing. The world teaches us, look, why do you do what you do? Comfort. And there's one lie we lie to ourselves. So when I'm comfortable, I'll be able to help God. I will have more money to give him. When they pay me more, I have more to support the gospel. This support the gospel there is a core part for a lot of people to excuse their covetousness and lack of commitment to the kingdom. So if I make money and I give God 10%, that's my tithe. I know that's not the right pronunciation. I just like my own pronunciation. Okay, some of you think I can't speak English. I can. That's my tithe. Then I'll give another 10%. It's my seed. And that 10% is my offering. Then January salary is my first fruit. All of it so that you can be keeping your conscience calm. That you are pursuing money every day. Jesus said, I won't take. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. I'm talking about holiness. Holiness is having a knowledge of the fact that God has a purpose for your life. And that's the purpose you must be serving. And that each season in your life, there's something you are supposed to be doing for him. And it's not decided by how comfortable you are. One of the commandments to Christians is endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. This is the annoying part about God. He does not allow you to have human confidence for the future. This company, what is the future like there? God said, I don't care. What's their retirement plan? Do you know whether you are going to retire? So people make decisions for strange reasons. Do you know people who go to church so that if they die, who will bury them? That's all. There are people who go to churches and so that they are growing now, their children have to meet husbands and wives. In case you do not know, it's called worry, anxiety, cares of the world. That's what God calls it. Why should you go to a church? I'll tell you, there are a few reasons that are very logical. No, you have to belong to a body of believers. That's important. So, you have to go to a church where you are being blessed.
or where you are blessing people. You don't just go to church because I never can tell now. If I die, now who will bury me? I hope you know, when you have passed on, you've gone. The rest is for us. Do your work while you are alive. Leave us to, in quotes, concern ourselves what we'll do with you. I'm talking about holiness. Holiness is knowing that there's a reason why you are there and you apply yourself to it. So that, what I'm trying to say is that Christians, don't joke with righteousness, don't joke with holiness. You know, we talk about Ruth again and again. Okay, that will now help me get to the main message, all right? You know, I went into all of this talking about discipleship. You get my point? That his disciples came to him. And this is a summary of it. It's only disciples that are true believers. Only disciples. If you're not a disciple, you're not a true believer.
Okay?
You're not a true believer. Only disciples are true believers. So as a disciple, you are learning, you are conforming. Two things. You are learning and what? You are conforming. Conforming to Christ. That is what it means to be a disciple, all right? So I was now talking about holiness. We must take it seriously. So I was now going to mention something about Ruth, and with Ruth, I will now get back to my main message. Bear in mind, Ruth didn't have the lectures that we have as Christians today. Yet what she did, the Bible says she did by faith. Do you get my point? I've talked about Ruth many times. What was it that Ruth had? Care, concern for her mother-in-law. That was it. Ruth was more interested in helping her than helping herself. We can look to the life of Ruth as an example of holiness. She had a purpose she wanted to serve, and that was how God supplied all her needs. At the end of the day, she became a grandmother, or a great-grandmother to David, who of course we know is part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, let's not apply ourselves primarily to comfort in life, but to purpose. Many Christians walk in righteousness, but they miss the holiness factor. What do I mean by purpose? Let me just say this. Sometimes, you may not know the details. And God says, don't worry about that. I will take care of that. Just to have a mind. Do you get my point? Just to have the mind that there is a purpose. You're working in an office, time to leave. Do go and pray. That God, is it time to... I don't know whether you get my point. You don't know, but you asked. That you thought about it. I was going to say it's 50%, but I think it's 75%. That you thought about it in sincerity is actually 90%. Not just 50 or 75. That you said, God, is it time? Let me explain further with the life of Jacob. Jacob is one of the sufferingest... One of the people who suffered the most in the Bible, the guy suffered well in the house of Laban. He labored. You know the story, first wife 7 years, second wife 7 years, all right? Even though he got the second one on credit, all right? The first one, he paid first. The second one, they gave him, do something 7 days, then you can have her. So, 14 years, then 6 years, he started working. Now, you don't get it. The first 14 years was bride price. So he was just getting food as a laborer in the house. 14 years bride price. Then he started working for savings to be able to invest, to be able to build his own house, to be able to have something the next 6 years. In all of this, they changed his payment 10 times. Agreement made, they keep changing it on him. But this is where I'm going. But you know, he could not leave. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. When it says by faith, please let me help Christians understand what that thing means again. It doesn't mean by desire or inner conviction. By faith means by a revelation of the will of God communicated by words. For most of them, almost all of them there, God spoke to them by an angel. Where am I going? Jacob could not leave. Until God said to him, it is now time to go. There are people that you are in bondage is good for you. Let me give an example. Your name is Joseph. Prison is good. Because when you're not for prison, you go home on time. When you're not for slavery, you'll go back home. So God looked and said, if I give this Joseph boy the freedom to do what he wants to do, he will leave. So bind him. So he was bound, sold as a slave. Then he was bound in prison.
God knew where to find him when the time came. Jacob was slightly different. He had agreements, yes. But he could actually leave after paying for the two girls. He could have left with nothing. But he had to wait for the word of the Lord. So when you were talking about by faith, the time he left was when God said, go. Please, you don't just change things because you feel like. Make it a matter of prayer. Before you change one job for another, please go home and pray. Now, if you have fears, lay the fears down before the Lord. Lord, see, these guys, this is what they pay me. This one, look at, this is what they will pay. Can I take it? Let me tell you why you have to pray that prayer. Because when Satan wants to collect you, it's money you also use. So it's not every juicy offer that's the will of God. It's not every visa that you're supposed to collect. It's not every job that they give you overseas you're supposed to grab. I told you about a friend of mine that was going abroad, British citizen, and he told his friend. That one said, oh, very good though. As long as it's the will of God. He said, as soon as he said it, he knew it was not. It is not every opportunity you take. That's what they call holiness. Just to give my son as an example. He wants to go to Lagos, go and do his master's in Lagos. Okay, fine. Finally got the admission. Covenant University. They send him admission. Yeah, come. All his friends were saying, it's good though. Have you prayed about it? It's good though. Have you prayed about it? Even me, I told him before, pray about this thing. Very. He said, hey, daddy, this one everybody say I should pray. I'm not going. So he wrote them and thanked them very much for the offer and turned it down and went to UNEC. He said, because everyone was just saying, have you prayed about that? The issue is that God has a will. I hope you are aware of that. And look and say, it's not every offer that is the will of God. This one looks like it's good. Doesn't look like the will of God. I said, good boy. One day, one young man sent me a letter long ago. In fact, I told the story then. It was an email that a door just opened that I should please help him. He needs money. This guy was going to final year in engineering. Then the door opened. This is not today. What I'm telling you is not anything less than 16 years ago. And he got this door open for him to go to Canada. This is not now. And he sent me a mail. And I think he did because he thought that I would think it's an open door. I read the mail once. I deleted it so that I wouldn't read his name. Because that's how angry I was. If he had sent me a mail, sir, I'm about to start my final year project. I don't have money. My father said he doesn't think he can raise the money. You remember me. You've been to our place before. Please, is there a way you can help? God is my witness. I would have said, let's talk. What kind of project? He was going to final year in engineering. I said, this boy, how foolish can he... Let's talk a natural play. In case you do not know, that's foolishness. If you had the degree in engineering, if you ever go to that country, you've gained many years. Yes. Yeah, what they call a STEM professional. In case you don't know, those guys... What they call STEM professional. What is STEM? Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Your own is an E. And you're about to this is where I put the B. Abandon it. And I will help you. Do I look like I've gone crazy? I'm like, what is wrong with you? If I knew him personally, I would tell him. But you know, some people are just so misguided. Any opportunity to go abroad is an opportunity. See, every trap has an open door. I mean, why will you fall into it if the door is not open? Every person in a rat that wants to enter a trap is fighting. This trap you must open today. You must open today. I command you, open, open. No, he saw an open door with food behind it. One way, young, we used to do Dekumagolo. Have you heard that thing before? Anyway, this literally means can a rat. All right? You allow the rat, you put it upside down like this, the rat will see the food inside. He will go in and eat it. It's always an open door. We have never done any of our carny rat without the door open. What is so spoil is that I went and used rubber band to trap the rat. So the rat chopped the rubber band, the door open. But the point I'm just making, all right? Taking the joke. Children, one where children, this is what did they do? Play PS4 and Nintendo games. We made real traps. Now, where am I going? That's how traps are. The doors are always open. Always pray. It's not every open door you jump inside. Many of them are traps, especially when you can see the food. You know what I mean?
Yes,
why would the rat enter my thing? It's not because it's all food. Once you can see the food, please pray. Because that is a classic trap design. Food and open door. That is the classic trap design. Food and an open door. People think that to miss God, you have to struggle. No. Many times to miss God is very easy. If your heart is set on something apart from the perfect will of God for your life, missing Him is very easy. See, that's another thing I should quickly explain. What your heart is set on is what is important to. If you wake up in the morning and pray, Father God, let me do your will for my life in the name of Jesus, and utter those words, it's a prayer of consecration. Prayer is something you say with your mouth and control your destiny by that. That is like, you say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, what do I want you to do for me? First prayer, Lord, let me never miss your will for my life. I know you have a will concerning the man I will marry. You have a will concerning the work I will do. You have a will from concerning where I will live. You have a will concerning the time I will do this. I know you have a will. So my prayer point number one for today is that let me not miss any of these things. Number one. Number one. And that must be more important to you than any other thing. It must be. Don't use God as a tool. What I mean as a tool? Like if I serve Him, He'll give me something. Is that thing that you are looking for? No. Let the focus of your heart be, if I serve Him, He will be pleased. Let me do that which is pleasing to Him. There's nothing else in life that's more important to me than I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Even if I have to suffer through that is through the earth to end that, I will agree for the suffering. After all, I wouldn't be the first. And you are praying, no? Utter those words to God. You know, you don't need visions to know the will of God. You will know it. Visions don't guarantee that it's God's will. Doesn't it? You heard a voice doesn't mean anything. You can miss God and still hear voices. It's when you have consecrated yourself ahead. Please go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. I talked about consecrations. About five M's or so to consecrate. Those who have read it, me, I wrote it, but I'm not sure I can remember it. But I remember your motive, your mind, your material things, including your money, and your mission in life. Consecrate all these things. I'm not sure I got everything right, but you can check the book, Guided by the Spirit. It's on our website. It's free to download if you are using the website. Guided by the Spirit. That's the name of the book. If you do these consecrations, you will know where you are supposed to be. We're talking, discussing yesterday night here about the inner witness, which Kenneth Hagin teaches about. That is how you get the inner witness. See, you don't learn inner witness by practicing it. Most of those who practice inner witness have gotten inner confusion. You have been witnessed to something that didn't turn out right. So don't worry about practicing. You know, please, let me just stay there for a moment. Knowing the will of God is not, let me practice how to hear God. You know, I've been telling people, they don't practice that thing. Hearing God is not a matter of practice. See, knowing the will of God is not about practicing how to hear God. It's about saying from the beginning, lo, I come in the volume of the books it is written of me to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. It's to pray that prayer. It's to say to God, please, I want to ask you for a favor. What is that favor, Lord? Make sure I don't ever miss your will for my life, please. It may be hard, help me to do it. It may be unpopular, help me to do it. People may not like it, help me to do it. Just say it to Him. Prayer is the key. It's not this practice of esoteric, spiritualism. You say, you're praying. The first that comes to your mind. See, it depends on whether you have eaten or not. The first that will come to your mind. By the way, it's what you have been thinking about. That's why people come and be telling you that God spoke to them on what they wanted to do. It is what you wanted to do. Pastor Rose is telling me something. He said, look, I don't see people, you must hear God before, again. He said, I used to say it before. He was telling me. He said, I found that people always hear what they want to hear. People hear what they want to hear. I know where I was standing when God spoke to him. You think Balaam did not know where he was standing when God spoke to him? I knew where you were standing doesn't mean anything. If you were standing in the path of sinners, that's what determines what it is. Not because he told you, I was at Okunanu Junction that day. What does it mean? What carried to Okunanu Junction? Do you get my point? Is that prayer? It's for you to first pray that prayer. And parents, teach your children to pray too. Let them know that life is about God's will. Many of us want to just manipulate God. It's like, okay, we want to go to university. Now let's pray that God will make it possible. Then we want to get what? Let's mean that. So God is there to just serve our purpose. As a young Christian, you may see him do something like that for you. After I say, hey, wait. Let's now get the order right. You are serving my purpose. I'm not the one serving your purpose. Was it the watchman that went to, he's the one that told the story, but I can't remember whether it was about him. I was doing PhD. And God said, you can't finish it. Yes, God said, you think everything, God said, nah, lie, you're not doing it. Leave it. Why did God do that? I don't know. Sometimes God just trying to say, listen, at the end of the day, this PhD will be the thing that will take you, it will open doors for you that I didn't want to open. You know, it's very possible. And he knows that you will not be able to resist it. See, you can't know God's will if you are not consecrating yourself in prayer. Regularly. Lord, the next phase of my life, maybe I'm just finishing school. Or I had a contract job. It's ending. Many of us know the kind of prayer we learn to pray. Father, I claim a better one. This one, I was in this amount. Next one, I will end this amount. In the name of Jesus. You plot your life. So God says, excuse me, can I just... Oh, cowboy, I want that. God says, okay. How long is this prayer? I'm going to be here for the next 5 hours. God says, after 5 hours, I will come. Let me see. You won't know. I will say what I want to say. Hey, cowboy, go. I command. It's 5 million naira a month. In the name of Jesus, I command. I say, oh, after 5 hours, come here. Have you come? I give fellow prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. I didn't hear you. Now, I don't want you to do contract jobs again. Come and settle down here for the next 1 year and be meditating and studying and building yourself up in faith. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I said, you know, when I was praying at the beginning, which is what I preached last week. This season of your life, there is a word. You must pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Because sometimes if you harass God too much, God says, okay, fine. There's a number of ways to do this thing. I can do it the easy way or the hard way. What is the hard way? I will leave you there. You will confess until your mouth peels and nothing will happen. Then hopefully, you will learn that time. But some people, after 2 years, and let me say something, Christians, open your heart and keep learning. Don't stick with that one doctrine that you know. It's true. That's the one problem I have with a lot of Christians these days. They don't improve in their understanding of God. They've learned faith one particular way. It's the only way that faith must be done. It's the only way that faith must be done. And it is not right. Sometimes you have to go and learn to pray. Say, God, see, I pray the way I know to pray. It's been 2 years now, it's not working. Like I said, that is the easy way. No, that's the hard way. God having his way in your life. All right? It took you 2 years, wasted time. Now, the one you don't want to happen is after the end of 2 years, you still don't change your mind. Because you can finally give him what he's asking for. And that's one thing you don't want. He gives you what you're asking for. But there's leanness in front. I was giving a testimony, the story of one woman who I learned about. God spoke to me. I said, how can you tell me God spoke to you to marry this man? What is he trying to cure you of? And then you live through marrying him for all these years, pain and anguish every day. Then finally you get tired, you divorce him. Please, what have I said? People of God, let's determine to walk in righteousness. Many of us do that. But let's remember the holiness aspect. What is holiness? This dedication to serving the purpose of God. And you can only get to know it by being consecrated in prayer. Open your mouth and tell God. Confess your sins to him. What do I mean by your sins? Lord, look, now money I defined. That's a sin. Confess it. Lord, let me say all this I've been doing. In the money I've given the last 2 years, you said no. And it's so that you can pay me back. I'm sorry. Say it like that. So what do you want now? I just want to do your will. I just want to be where you want me to be. It must be said. Commit yourself. You know, many of us are afraid to say it. Do you know why? We are afraid he may actually do it. So we want to walk in self-deception. Because this God you are looking at now, so you go post, you go back clicking now. And you don't want to go. You will not set your mind for Aberdeen. How would you not come to Abakaliki?
You know where Aberdeen is? Scotland. Uh-huh. You set your mind on Aberdeen. The God wants to say, Father, I just want to be where. Ah! No! That's why you say, this one Pastor Bangi is preaching, it's not the will of God. You go and say, see it and declare it and claim it. Now go and print a picture of Aberdeen. By the way, can I go back there? Any picture you have on your wall, please go and remove it. When you enter your house, put the picture of your own face, your wife's face, your children's face, and if you don't have wife yet, put your mother's on, thank you. Please, don't put a picture of the woman you want to marry. If you have not married her, remove that photo. That is why you won't hear God clearly. You know I've been telling you these things. Remove the picture. You have not even met her. You have drawn her. AI is not very possible now to help you. You describe her for Meta AI. You give you a picture and you put it on your wall. It's idolatry. I hope you're getting my point. Please, that doctrine that you just put it on the wall and begin to look at it until it comes to pass. I preached at a time. Maybe like 30 years ago or 25. I've apologized to God. You won't find any of my recordings. God was very careful. He went to the pastor and wiped the recordings. Concerning your life, only one thing can you put on the wall. Scripture. Yeah, it's in the Bible. See, there's a reason why God did not allow us to invent photography until modern times. He said, let me finish giving them my prophecy. Then they can do photography. I found out something recently. Did you know? Words are very powerful. Do you know if you hear of King Henry the... Give me a name. Eighth. We don't know what he looks like. All the pictures you see, all the drawings you see of him. They said those days, kings did not have time for that. So anybody could sit for them. I found that recently. So this was what this particular Russian star looked like. So you can't know. Because they used to do something those days. They realized that the photo meant nothing. Only the name meant something. So they'll put anybody's image and put King Henry the Eighth. What people see is King Henry. They don't see that picture. So there's a picture of William Shakespeare. They say we don't know. Because the photo never mattered. Only the name did. And those days to get you clearly was hard. So a king didn't have time to be posing. Just grab one guy in the court. Sit down. They want to paint the king. They will paint that guy and put on it King Henry the Eighth. And everywhere they circulated it, it didn't matter. What mattered was what? King Henry the Eighth. They knew it was the name that mattered. I found that one recently. So the person said, look, you don't know what Shakespeare looked like. There's no way to know. What about the pictures of him we see? They were not reliable. The men, they didn't care. They cared only about their name. I'm sure many of you are hearing it for the first time. Yeah, I heard it just first time, I think about last month. I was really surprised. It was on BBC, one BBC program. Now, where am I going? In the scriptures also. And I said, this is in the Bible. What God said we should put on the wall is scriptures. So you can put things on the wall like this. Lo, I come in the volume of the books it is written of me. I do delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. I hope by the wife I want my camp on the wall. You can. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Put it, you know, there's a place you face when you wake up in the morning. Put it there. It must be scripture. When I was young, I wanted to marry somebody that looked like Nefertiti. And I never met Nefertiti. So why did you want to marry Nefertiti? I watched the Ten Commandments. And you know, his movie, the dread Egyptian men looked so, you know, dashing. And I have these Okpelenge girls that were always just about this height and below. So I said, okay, if I want to marry my wife, she don't cross here in height. And then she must look like, you know, it's not my fault. It's Ten Commandments. I watch Moses and his brothers. That's Egyptian brothers. So. Of course, you know young people now, you sit down. I watched Ten Commandments in secondary school. It's long ago. So you don't blame. Now I grew up. I said, I believe that nonsense. I'll be forming the image in my head that God did not form. You write that on the wall. Favor is deceitful. Or charm, depending on the version you use. Beauty is vain. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That word will control you. It will control you. It will control you. The word of God is alive to drive things in your direction and move things away from your direction. I hope you're getting my point. I'm talking about committed to holiness. Let's take this here. Please, let me just, anyway. Let's see whether we can preach what I wanted to preach, okay? But let me finish what I want to say, okay? What am I saying this morning, all right? What God needs in this generation, has always needed anyway, but particularly in this generation, I'm going to use a very funny expression. What he needs are serious Christians. Yeah. You know the need he has? He has a need for what?
Serious Christians.
Christians who are Christians indeed. Who will say, I'm in the house of Laban. Let's go. Not yet. Why? The word of the Lord hasn't come. My name is Jacob. Who will say, whoa, I was my father's favorite son because he loved my mother. And my mother died some time ago when I was yet a child. So all the love my father had for my mother is on me now. So that's why he made me this coat. A coat of royalty to show that I'm his favorite son. Just by the way, when I saw the blessing that Jacob gave Joseph, Jesus is Lord. How many of you saw it? It's in Genesis 49. My God in heaven. It's a small distraction, eh? Let me just look for it. Genesis 49. Let me just really open to Genesis 49. Man, when I saw blessings, many of you, if you follow me on WhatsApp channel, you will have gotten the... I had to pray it though. I had to archive it. Say, this is prayer. Hey. I like the way he... Let me just, please. It's a small distraction, but let's just read it. He said, Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey. New Living Translation. The foal of a wild donkey at the spring. No, please. I need to move to Good News Translation. I think that is the one I modify. But for time's sake, let me just use this one. All right? It says, the foal of a wild donkey, the foal of a wild donkey at spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained taut and his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel. He said, may the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above, and blessings of the watery depths below, and the blessings of the breast and womb. Please, I need to read that verse 26 in another translation, because you know, different versions have different translations, okay? Let me just quickly get to this. He said, the Almighty bless you with the blessings of rain from above, and of deep waters from beneath the ground, blessings of many cattle and children, blessings of grain and flowers, blessings of ancient mountains, delightful things from everlasting hills. He now said to him, he said, may these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is a prince among his brothers. Oh, listen, bless your children like this. Please, can I say something? Small aside again. Is that okay? Can I do my aside? When you want to pray for people, you can speak in tongues. It is good. I have no problem with it. But please gather scriptures and invoke written blessings, especially when you bless your children. Go and listen to my series, How to Bless Your Children. Speak words to them. Let them have something to remember. You can't be blessing your children and say, take it by your brother. No. There's a time for that. Good. I've told you, when you want to do that, do it on your own. If you want to pray for your children, speak those tongues by yourself. Stay in the corner. Kaboya. You can't be blessing your children and doing kaboya. No. It's good when you're young. When you want to bless them, put your hands there. Memorize these scriptures. Invoke the blessing of God. Say, may the Lord arise from heaven and defend you. Speak to them. Say, in the time of trouble, you will not be alone. When you are falsely accused, God will arise as your defender. Those are the kind of words you should say. If men shoot at you, it will not injure you. They will miss you. Evil people will not be able to recognize you. You will not fall for the temptations of false friends. You will not marry a fake Christian. Please, utter words they can hold on to. I hope you're getting my point. Because the blessing of a parent is prophetic. And if you speak in tongues, Paul said, you must interpret. Otherwise, you have blessed nobody. That's a small aside. All right? Can we go back to the main message? So your name is Joseph. Remember what God is what? Serious Christians. So my father loved me so much. And then finally, you find yourself in Egypt. How did I get here? People who don't love me, they don't like me. They will see what I will be in the future. When God has delivered me, Judah, Zebulun, you did this one to me. That is how to fail. What does a serious Christian mean? At such times, the serious Christian looks and says, my life is in the hands of God, it's not in anybody's hands. If I'm here, I will be here for as long as God says, and not one day longer. Why? He's my deliverer. He's my vindicator. The Lord is my helper. He's my shield. He's the shield at my right hand. And you declare those words. That's what I mean to be a serious Christian. When I say being a serious Christian, I'm sorry to say, you know, I'll go back there again. See, this is a week of protest that we fail in Jesus' name. Now, like one of my friends said, when I say fail, now you won't cause violence. You have, the property you have destroyed in Kano and Yobe is enough. Nonsense. I said it then. Look, there are things Christians don't do. But there's bad governance in Nigeria. Now, just by the way, those who are saying it, they are very useless governors themselves. Yeah. But that's an aside. Let's go back to Christianity. True Christians, don't be afraid to be different from people. What's your problem? Say, my God is the governor among the nations. When I have problems, I go to him and say, where is God, my maker? I don't have to be popular in my opinions. That's the point I'm making. I don't have to be popular in my opinion. I just don't have to know what. How did God say I should reason? You know what happened to Moses? Moses said, now listen, most people are not even in bondage. Now, you may not know this. An average Nigerian is not in bondage to anybody more than his neighbor. That's the truth. And he's a greater bondsman than the neighbor. He spoils things and he wants things to work well. Let's leave that one, okay? Let's now go to where people really had bondage. The Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. Yet, when Moses wanted to deliver them, by the strength of his own might, God took him away and sent him into the wilderness. The Bible says, by faith, he left, not because of the wrath of the king. God said, this is the way to deliver people. You will go and speak the word of God to them. And when Jesus came, do you get my point? Now, listen to what I'm saying. When I say you go and speak the word of God to them, many of us don't realize something. Moses did not come. He didn't come first to Pharaoh. He came first to the people of Israel. Later on, Ezekiel explained to us, he told them, remove the idols from your midst. You know why they were in bondage for so long? Idolatry. You don't get it. Time will not allow us to analyze it from scripture. Why they were in bondage for so long was idolatry. So when Moses wanted to deliver them, God said to Moses, you want to deliver unbelievers? It will never work. God said, don't worry, it won't work. As soon as Moses tried deliverance, you know what they told him? So you want to now kill me, the way you kill me? The guy realized that there was no deliverance. God said, see, they are not ready. You go and wait until they are tired. Tired of what? I'll tell you. Their tiredness for bondage will help them remove idols from their lives. And let me tell you something, I have removed my idol also. My last idol, okay, I'm not sure it's the last one, but one of the major ones just dropped a few weeks ago. I have now reached a point in this life where I realized that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. I've realized anything I want in this country, I have to pray to God about it and not look up to anybody. I won't go into the reason why I came to that conclusion. Even though I already knew the scriptures behind it, but in recent times, I understood the practical side of it in my own heart. It's one reason why I don't believe Christians should join any protest. That's not the solution. It's not. In fact, you are solving a problem that does not exist. There's one Northern senator, Sheo Sani. No, who was it? I think it's Sheo Sani. One of the Northern senators said something I read yesterday. He said, do you think there's a government in this country that wants to fail? Now, he's not part of this government, whoever said this. He said, he was telling his people, he said, relax. He said, somebody is manipulating you guys. He said, you think they know how to do better and they're not doing it? Look at Kenya as an example. They introduced one tax and the Kenyan said no. So the president said, okay, he will do the tax. It didn't stop the protest. Why? They don't even know what they're looking for. And someone wanted to bring the spirit down here, just causing disorder, causing problems, burning buses, looting. The looting they did in Edo, I found that there was a Cannes program that was looted. They said government hid rice. Cannes said it's not government's own, it's our own. This rice we shell to the needy. It's been looted. But that's not even where I want to go. Where I want to go is that people who need help, they are saying they should help you. And you think that makes sense? It doesn't. Moses came back to Egypt to meet the people of Israel. Now, because of time, I can't take through the scriptures, all right? But what happened? God said, better go and tell them to remove the idols from their hearts. And I can assure you in this country, the church, listen, I want to give you a prophetic word. Until you say, you know, Jesus said, your house will remain desolate until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I want to give the word of God to the church of God in Nigeria. Until you unanimously say, there is no help for us but in God, you won't have help and this country won't settle. There was a time we went to go and protest on the street against kidnapping. Do you remember? Yeah, we Christians, led by some of our big men in Abuja, went to the street to protest against kidnapping. You know what God said? I won't tell you what God said. He said, okay, go. Let them help you. When you should have called what they call a holy convocation and gathered in your large assemblies and say, everybody repent of your sins and tell everybody, see, any one of you that steals government money, we are going to ask the judgment of God upon you. Anyone, you tell the church. If you don't tell the church that you're on the street, God will add sin to your sin. That is judgment for sin to the one you already have. There's nowhere in the scriptures you see the people of God ask for deliverance and it's not from God. And there's nowhere in the scriptures the people of God ask for deliverance, it's not accompanied by repentance. That was what happened to the people of Israel. So when they came, when Moses came to them, he told them, remove the idols from your houses. The time for deliverance has come. They did not. So the first plague afflicted the people of Israel the same way it afflicted the people of Egypt. The second plague afflicted the people of Israel the same way it affected the people of Egypt. The third plague, the same thing. Then they finally got the point. Their repentance at that time was not complete. The first people that Moses went to was the people of Israel. It was not Pharaoh. God's primary assignment was his people, not Pharaoh. Pharaoh was never a problem. After the third plague, the people finally removed the idols from their homes. God now said, from now on, the judgment will not get here. I'm just telling you what happened. And just by the way, the affliction in our nation doesn't have to get to your house. Just go home and remove the necessary idols. See, God helping me, I have to preach against idolatry. Yes. That's why I tell Christians, righteousness and holiness, hold it tight. That holiness portion, you know, God needs serious believers. People who hate idolatry, who take the words of Jesus literally. Serious Christians. I told you, when my brother wanted to get married, my mother called me, because my dad just passed on that time. So, automatically, I now became the man of the house. My younger brother said, I wanted to marry. Don't blame my mother, alright? She's a good woman. But she was just concerned it's Nigeria. This girl your brother said wants to marry, she's from Imo State. So I'm like, yes, So like, go to where the problem is. What do you have to say about that? I can't see the problem yet. Like, I'm trying to find what the issue is. You have not brought it up. You're looking at me like, you are the one encouraging him. I said, encouraging him in what? Do you see him jump into the Atlantic and I say he should enter? Or you want to stand on the train track that is coming? You are just concerned that he's crossing the Niger to go and marry. I said, it's not a problem. And I said to her, that's what I'm going to. And she listened to my counsel. I said, Mommy, you know, we're either Christians or we are not. That was the end of the discussion. I said, we're either Christians or we are not. If I didn't even, that it was like, I mean, leave that. I thought you wanted something serious. I said to her, look, what you should be asking me is that, do you know her well? Is she truly a Christian? Then I'll say, oh, yes, Mommy, rest assured. I know her. She was my wife's person. That was when my brother met her. You know, I would have talked, to, you know, that kind of thing. I said, that's the discussion I want to hear. Anything beyond that, please, I want to add new words now. Don't get me involved when God is getting angry. I don't have time for one day, one sister. We're somewhere talking. She's not a very close person to me. We're just gisting generally. She now said, her father has warned her that he can marry anybody, but this is Nenugu, right? She's from the East. That you can marry anybody, but you can't bring somebody from Western Nigeria. You can't marry a Yoruba man, whatever it is. So that she has that law already clear. Now I looked at the girl. I said, go and tell your father that you met me. That there's a particular pastor you know. He's a true Christian. He's a good man. Of course, I'm not saying she married me. I was already married. All right? It was all that kind of this. Someone for behead somebody. All right? So let's leave that. That's not what I'm saying. I just told her like that. Anyway, I want to tell you something. The discussion ended there, nothing. Now, for certain reasons, all right, which I won't tell you, I remembered her a few years ago. And I said, okay, maybe
let me just say it this way. Maybe she's a preacher. All right, I used to preach very well. And I said, where is this young preacher of those days? I just went online. So I just typed her name to find out where she is now. I just wanted to remember. You just check on how is she doing. I've not seen her in maybe 10 years. Google is very funny. You know the only thing Google popped up for me? Her divorce filing. The court papers are online. So the only thing her name picked. I look like, what? I checked. Hey, I checked the name of the guy she's divorcing. Obviously somebody from her village. Maybe not exactly the village, but I think my parents from around there. I said, was that not... Okay, take my mother as an example, and my brother and his wife. The other day, my mother went to their place, stayed for... How many months was mommy there? Nothing less than 3 months. And when she wanted to go back home, they didn't even want her to go. I said, you want to trap me in this your Lagos forever? I'm going home. She's had no problem with any of her daughters-in-law. None. None. She's never had any issue with my wife, ever. Where I'm going is that, see, you still see Christians in this modern day still buying some rubbish. They tell you can't marry from somewhere and you didn't rebuke them immediately. You don't have to tell your father, daddy, leave that to you. No, that's disrespect. Just smile. And say, the important thing, daddy, is that we're all in Christ. Just say it like that. Say, I've warned you, daddy, I've heard you, but you know the will of God. Just drop it. Just the drop and small, small. And for those of you who are men, I don't say the one I've said though. Oh, you go and say, daddy, please, can we talk about this? Bring out scripture. Daddy, good morning. Paul said, quote it like that. You know, girls get different problem from guys. So that one, you know, guys like, daddy, please, let's not, this is a good family. Not even that should cause fight. I'm talking about serious Christians. Your Christianity should be so strong, please, believe Christians, that when you're in an office, they can't even offer you some things. They want to steal money. They wait for you to pass. They say, hey, Phil, how now? Are you not going for lunch? They say, hey, Uche, go and buy him lunch. They didn't drive you away. So, then when you are coming, they close the book. It shouldn't involve you. They should know that you rather die of hunger than join to share God's money. Why? After all, you are there as a light. You are there as a light. You're not here to make money. See, I told you, holiness is our way of thinking. Why are you in your office? That's what you think. You are not here to come and say, man too must make it. Wherever you are there as a light that God is shining there. If you're a student, let me just tell you something. This is a prophecy. You know me, I know how to prophesy. I know how to prophesy. Are you not aware? You are very aware. Uh-huh, so, if you get involved in cheating, they will catch you. Amen. Help me now.
Amen.
If you're a Christian student, if you get involved in sorting, they will catch you.
Amen.
And they will discipline you. Now, for your information, prophetic word, all the unbelievers will go scot-free. But you will go in for it.
Amen.
It is better to offend man than to offend God. The problem, you know, people are talking about protests. I said, see, what we need to do in Nigeria now is protest against parents who cheat for their word, for their children. That's the real protest we need. Let us all carry placards. And say, any mother or father that pays for the children to cheat, thunder fire you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the protest we need. We need to protest against school principals and proprietors and proprietresses that they will go to prison when they are arrested cheating for WAEC. Go and see, WAEC will declare result. JAB will say only 20% got above 200. 15%. That's not 15. This last jam, only 15% got 200 and above. You will see somebody who got maybe 150 in jam. Go and see the WAEC result. And for me, it's a prayer point because you see children struggling to do their best, competing with people who didn't put in any effort. They answer it the way, with the keywords, they know the examiner is working for. So they give two hours for a paper. The children who are cheating finish in 1 hour. Then they submit. The result will come out, And these same people are going to protest against bad governance. The problem, I'm talking on a natural plane. The problem this country has is a foundation for education being laid for the future. Yeah, physically speaking. If we want to tackle Nigeria's problem, please, let's leave government alone for a moment. Let's face church and school. Churches and schools. Let's face them. Just for 2 years, you'll see how much the country will change.
is this country will be producing engineers that can't draw a straight line. And they passed. It's not like we are not smart. What I've noticed about children is the demand you make of them that they give back to you. It's the demand. If you let them know, say, there's no way to pass this exam apart from learning it. You know what will happen? They are not stupid now. They will learn it. They will learn it. Please, because of the experience I've had with my wife and all of that, let me just tell those of you, maybe you're a proprietress in school, let them remove their children. Your own is God you are serving. You're not going to pander to anybody. Let them do what is wrong. Why you watch? You lay a wrong foundation for the children. And I keep telling my students in Nigeria, I say, look, if you want to go to America, go there and compete with the Chinese people. You will go and compete with the Indian that crammed a whole textbook and does not miss a comma. They are here. They are lowering standards. You are happy. I say, there's no problem. If you are planning to go to America or UK, there's no wahala. You go and compete with Indians and Chinese people. Those ones, they cram whole textbooks. A whole textbook, these people put inside their head. They are the ones, because somebody help you to cheat in WAEC, cheat in ECHO. You now carry the certificate to go and meet an American. You know, America doesn't lose it. You know, that's what I was saying, but that nobody has a certificate. Americans say that, you are the ones that, what do you do with this certificate, Seth? Do you remember? They say, what do you do? That Nigeria na like certificate. We print it for $50. If you went to the school, when they want, they don't ask for your certificate. They say, come, sit down. You say, you're an engineer. You say, yes, engineer this, let me see. So what did you say? Engineer this one now. Sir, you see, according to the... wait. Engineer this, let me see. They don't look at... You think, what concerns them with your certificate? They are not, when you go to school, learn something there. When you come out, what they deal with... You know, I've seen it. I mean, I've had to do things for my friends. They want detailed transcript. Wait, what are the subjects you said you did in school? The school will write. That's what they do. They don't. You don't just file the certificate for an American. Is okay with you? This is what they say you went to. They want to see your detailed course content. They write the school. Forward the whole performance of this guy to us. Forward the whole thing. You know, our own problem is that you want to now queue in civil service. And once you enter, oh God, you are not the reason why the things will not move. Because nobody can sack you. Sacking somebody in civil service in Nigeria, only God can do it. It's only a problem when the person is not the one issuing licenses. And they are the same people that come and inspect to whether your base station is correct, is not correct. You see, this man that does not know engine. God will have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, let me see this my message. What is my message? As a child of God, you must never be involved. Why? You are there to shine what? The light. You are there to shine the light of God. You're not there to make money. You're not there to prosper. You are there to shine the light of God. That's your primary purpose. It's not the salary. It's not the career. It's the light you are shining. I mean, children should be seeing you 20 years later. Say, ah, that teacher was very good. He used to help us cheat those days. I mean, it's a better repetition for them to say, ah, that man, if you didn't do your homework, he will flog you. It's better. You know, when they are older, they don't have any problem with it. They know it was good. That's like, ah, that man, hey, if he did not read for his test, what he will use, he will just give his zero. He didn't used to feel bad. I had to read, though. When they are talking about 2 years later, there's a particular school that our sister JJ and my wife were talking about one day. She said something. Ah, that how can this be wicked to children like this? I won't say what the other thing that the two of them said. Anyway, they invoke judgment. That God, this has to stop. You see, children come from the school, they say they are in primary 4. Tell them to do 3 plus 3. They are looking at you. And you're like, excuse me, you've gone to school for 4 years. What were they teaching you in school? And they will keep on passing because if they don't, the parents will withdraw the child. Intense competition for patronage. Let's just use that word. So you start corrupting the foundation of learning the lives of children because you started a business. If you were God, wouldn't you punish you? Please, let's take this Christianity seriously. So I'm sorry I couldn't get to it. You know, I just read one line. That God is saying Christians must be disciples indeed. You must have a walk of righteousness and what? Holiness. And I've explained that holiness is not just trying to dress like Mother Teresa. No. If you want to dress like Mother Teresa, it is good. But for what purpose? To impress us? That's not holiness.
It is what you are using your life for. What are you using your life for? What are you trying to advance? That is what holiness is. Let's talk about Nigeria for one moment. You know what Nigeria needs? People really want to advance God. Want to advance righteousness. Like David Paulson said, David Paulson believes that Christians should please get into civil service. Why? He says somebody has to shine the light. The current police PRO of Enugu. Last time I went for good of the land. He gave that testimony. I was blessed by that testimony. Was it this year? Last year, yes. October. He said, I was meeting for the first time. He wanted me to know that I'm the reason why he's a police officer today. He's working in a bank. He said, but those days in rural Abia, I used to be in our village. I used to listen to you on Cosmo FM. There's those things that I said that one day he looked and decided where God wanted him to make an impact was Nigerian police. He resigned from working in the bank, took form, went to police academy, and today he's a police officer. When you hear a story of men like that, you pray for them so that they will stand. Because that is what you need. That is what you need. That's what you need. I went to preach the other day. One of the men who ministered with the interest of me is a brigadier. And look, brigadiers, they are young. Not that, he's a commander of this. And he came, he was a visiting preacher. A brigadier general in the Nigerian army. Three of us were ministering. He came to preach. Where I went to preach somewhere some time ago. The person said, we need that. That they step inside there, but they uphold righteousness. What is holiness for them? I'm here to shine what? The light of God. The light of Christ. Please let me end my message here. That God needs serious Christians. Christians who marriage for them is an assignment from God. Raising children from them. Please let me just say this. Please, who knows what I want to preach today? I know it too. I didn't tell you, so you can't even guess. So, just for me to remember to say it. I was going to tell you, remind me next time. You know, you are my assistant for today. So, you don't even know what I wanted to preach, so you can't remind me next time. But let me just say something to us. Everything for us is an assignment from God, all right? Parents, I won't take more than 2 minutes on this. Nobody can raise your children for you. Do you get my point? I need to say that. You have to be the one to teach your children righteousness. You know why I'm saying it? Because my wife and I were talking, yesterday. Some parents said they don't have time. Now, please, this is not a criticism of boarding house. I went to boarding house as a child. Even though I wouldn't go now if I had my choice, but I went. Right? But you cannot ship your children off for somebody to take care of because you feel you don't have time. Just bear that in mind. You will be held accountable for what that child learns. My wife was telling me the other day about one woman who, a year after her daughter started her menstrual cycle, she was not aware. A whole year. She was not aware. So I said, he said, did they go to church? They are going to church. Some of them going to church is how they went to heaven. It's like your car parked in the filling station. See, this is how he will do his destiny. You spent money in today's Nigeria, buy a better motor. Your driver went to park in the filling station. He doesn't come out again. So this is where it's happening. Church is what? Our filling station. When we are finished filling, look, when we close, all of you, get out from here. Go and do your work. Don't come and sit there. I come in at 4 o'clock. You're kneeling down here. Hey, Gaba, do ya go? Hey, Gaba, do ya go? First day, I don't go talk anything. I come next day. You're still here. Oh, Gaga. Oh, Gaga. 4 days, I'll just say, guys, drive them out, close the door. No more meeting again. Until these people repent. The other day, I was watching one video. One man said, how many hours do you pray now? He said, I pray from 12 to 7 now. So my wife said, you know they work. Of course, you don't. Oh, no, this guy has been doing it for 600 days. See, you must, maybe you're feeling like Simeon. When I look at the guy, this guy, you're not Simeon. You don't have work. You know they sleep. See, just by the way, can I just say something? I know some people won't like it, but I always say what I want to say. God answers prayer any time of the day. See, if you say you are too busy during the day, that's why you have to pray at night. And you are praying every night, 7 hours for one whole year. You are irresponsible. What's my reason? Whatever you are doing during the day cannot be effective. I know the way God operates. He has certain rules. Hannah was not doing any of that thing. My wife employed one young woman to come and work for us those days. She came to my house in the morning, laid on my couch, and was sleeping because she went for adoration night. To my wife, I sacked this one.
If you really went for adoration night, you should be so adored that when you are walking, we will see the difference. Not, ah, madam, I went for prayer. There was a washcloth. I will sack you, Father, and back I should pay you. That's not Christianity. When you go to a church, you're supposed to go there and learn righteousness. When you come from church and come to work, we will know you went somewhere. You don't come there and be sleeping. You will know you have been with Jesus. We know you are a worker who has the spirit. That the king's mother will say, this guy has the spirit of the gods. Say, to solve problems, go and meet that guy. When the only thing they ask you for in the office to come and lead prayer, you are not effective. Say, call pastor, call pastor. After that, when there's a problem, they don't call you. When they say, we'll be there on time to open the office, they don't call you. Who will stay late to make sure everything is fine? They don't call you. If a work is hard, who will do it? They don't call you. If something is difficult to solve, they don't call you. But it's like, ah, call pastor. You're a fake prophet. You're fake. Go and work in church. Your Christianity is not showing. You know, we talked about parents and got to that one. If you're a parent, please raise your child for God. It's an assignment. Some father say, I don't know how to flog children. Learn it. Nobody was born flogging anybody. We're born flogged. Are you getting my point? We're not the flogger, we're the floggy. Let your children know early who's the boss. From the age of 2, it must be clear. Latest. Don't wait till they are 5. Say, he doesn't have sense yet. That's why you are there to teach him sense. Don't let any child disobey you and smile. Any child that disobeys you must have a frown and a cry. That's the will of God. And if your mother says, hey. Don't touch that biscuit. It carries the biscuit. Junior, don't eat it. And the smile is still there. Ask these boys. They couldn't swallow such biscuits. I said, don't eat biscuit. You took it. How will you swallow it? Which mouth? And I used to tell my wife, that I don't threaten my children, I make them divine promises. So none of them say, I will kill you today. Why would I kill you? I'm not going to kill you. I ain't killing nobody. So I never threaten anybody, but I will kill you. But I'll tell you, if you cross that line, I'm giving you 6 strokes of the cane. Once I've declared it, is the law of the means and the patience. No. It can't be repealed. No. I'm sorry. Because you see, if I repeal it tomorrow, you will dare me again. So God help me with that. I calculate before I tell you. The one that I used to tell my children, I said, who did this one? I said, wait, before you talk. If it is you, the 3 strokes of the cane on your butt. If you lie, the 6 strokes of the cane before the 3. So the guys will calculate. They will calculate. If I let me tell one thing, I could do it one day. I don't know if he sat down, did that, he was doing something. I said, I could do the one that did this one. He said, if I tell you the truth, will you flog me? That guy, he can negotiate. You know what I said? I said, yes. So he said, will you use the cane or use the belt? Do you know? I still remember. The guy said, will you use the cane or you will use the belt? Because, you know, belts make a lot of noise. They really don't hurt. You understand? So I can't remember the answer again. But it made me laugh. I told him, because I said, yes. Because he knows that lying about it ends more. Come on, let's say, parents, you will train these children for God. They have to learn to fear. And you have to set example of the fear of God. Like one child told my wife, said, don't mind my mother. She lies a lot. I mean, how can it? The young boy told my wife, don't mind my mother. I don't think she tells a lie. And he said that is the thing he dislikes most about her. That she flogs us for the thing that she does. Please, I'm just adding that one for parents. Even parenting is a form of holiness. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a form of holiness. We are doing this for the Lord. Please let me end it there. God wants Christians who carry their Christianity into everything they do. There's one thing Costello said some time ago when I saw the video. When I was talking about the problem he had with this man that just passed on, he said, everywhere in the world that I do business, they give me an open account. They don't check what I say. They give me credit. They don't ask for money. He said, this man wants to ruin a reputation I've built over 40 years. He said, American government guarantees my loans. He said, I deal with BMW. I deal with Rover. He mentioned a number of companies. Ford. He said, they don't ask me questions. I order goods, they supply, they don't ask for money. They know I will pay them. That this guy wants to ruin a rep. He said, look, that reputation was built over 40 years. Let's not say more about his issue with the other guy. But it made me realize something. You know, the man is a Christian. You know, it made me realize something. This is how Christians should do things. If you get to a point in life, they just mention your name. People say, oh, don't worry. And you're not doing because, you see, when you do like that, business will move. No. You are doing it because of holiness. You are doing it because of holiness. That is the commandment of God for you to go and represent him in the business world. Let it be that when they just say, I will supply that thing. They mention your name, say, oh, it must be good. Okay, let's check it. Who did you supply it? This guy, it must be good. He said, okay, let's check it now. Okay, go and check. Then they check. They come and say, okay, it's good. See, I told you now. And sometimes they find a fault. They call you. Say, it's a fault. And you come and check. And they find out, no, it's not a fault. They made a mistake after you delivered. I say, hey, I checked my stuff now. That was a good name. So let me say, to get to that level, you will lose money along the line. Those who like to give excuses, that's really what happens. Hey, I know. Now, as we buy now, no be our fault now. Now, the people, the person who is helping you is ruining your name. Take the responsibility. You will take a lot of hits. You will lose money in trying to preserve your name. But not for your sake, but because of what? Holiness. You want to know the truth? That is the real problem God has. It's the real problem this country has. A lot of protesting people, they are worse than the people they are protesting against. And I say it again, if you join them in your heart, you sin against the Lord. Bow your heads. Give the Lord thanks. Because he gave me this word for you this morning. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. And make your dedication, though. Because remember, you have to dedicate yourself to holiness. You have to dedicate yourself to righteousness. Just give the Lord thanks again for today. Say, Father, thank you for you spoke to me. Thank you for you corrected me. Thank you for you inspired me. Thank you for you empowered me. Thank you for you empowered me with your word, with your spirit, to shine your light, to represent you truly wherever I go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you.
Amen.
And the Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
He will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
There is none like the God of Israel, who rises the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty. Eternal God is your dwelling place,
Amen.
And underneath you are his everlasting arms.
Amen.
He will drive out the enemy from before you.
Amen.
Upon your enemies, destruction will come.
Amen.
But you will dwell in safety.
Amen.
The Lord bless you with the blessings of rain from above.
Amen.
With the blessings of deep waters from beneath the ground.
Amen.
The Lord bless you with many cattle.
Amen.
And children.
Amen.
Have the blessings of grain and flowers.
Amen.
The blessings of ancient mountains.
Amen.
And delightful things from everlasting hills.
Amen.
May these blessings rest upon your head.
Amen.
And upon your household. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you go out, it will be well with you.
Amen.
As you come in, protection is your portion.
Amen.
You will be kept from all evil.
Amen.
Kidnappers can't kidnap you.
Amen.
Robbers can't attack you.
Amen.
God is your defense.
Amen.
He will surround you like a high tower.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare that it is well with you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives.
We
but now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless three people beside you. Say, this is your season. Two more. This is your season of the demonstration, the power of God. The last person, this is your season, the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Give yourself one. This is my season. All right, cherub brethren, God bless you.